And one must consider that each of us, when sinning, is within the regions of Tyre or Sidon or Pharaoh, and Egypt or some region outside God's inheritance. But when changing from vice to virtue, goes out from the regions belonging to base things, and arrives at the regions of the portion of the of God. And that there is a difference in these matters as well, which will be visible to those able to establish it in proportion to the spiritual law of the division and inheritance of Israel. But pay attention also to what happened as, so to speak, a meeting between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, for he comes toward the region of Tyre and Sidon, while she, coming out from those borders, cries out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David." Now the woman was Canaanite, which is rendered as prepared for humiliation. The righteous stand ready for the reign of the heavens and for the exaltation found in God's kingdom. Sinners, however, are prepared for the humiliation of the evil that is in them and of the deeds that go with it, and for that which reigns in their mortal body of sin. Yet the Canaanite woman, in coming out from those borders, was coming out from having been prepared for humiliation, crying out and saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David." Gather together from the Gospels who it is that call him son of David, as this woman does, along with the blind men at Jericho, and who instead call him son of God, either lacking the genuine addition, as the demon-possessed do when they say, "What have we to do with you, son of God?" or with the true addition, as those in the boat do when they worship him, saying, "Truly you are the son of God." For indeed, I think, gathering these instances will be useful to you for seeing the difference among those who come to him. Who come to him, as it were, to the one who, according to the flesh, was born from David's offspring, and who to the one who was marked out in power as son of God, according to a spirit of holiness. And among these, who with the true addition and who without it. Then observe that the Canaanite woman entreats not concerning a son, one whom she does not even appear to have begotten in the first place, but concerning a daughter terribly demon-possessed, while another mother receives back alive a son being carried out dead. And again, the ruler of the synagogue makes his request concerning a 12-year-old daughter as one already dead, while the royal official makes his concerning a son still sick and about to die. A demon-possessed daughter, then, and a dead son belong to two mothers, and a daughter and a son sick unto death belong to two fathers. One held the office of synagogue ruler, the other served as royal official. I am persuaded that these things hold accounts concerning different kinds among souls, which Jesus, giving life, heals. And all the things he heals among the people, recorded above all by the evangelists, happen then so that those who do not otherwise believe might believe, if they should see signs and wonders. But those things then were symbols of what the power of Jesus is always bringing to pass. For there is no moment at which each of the things written is not accomplished through that same power of his, power of Jesus, according to each person's worth. For the sake of her race, then, the Canaanite woman was not even worthy to obtain an answer from Jesus, who declared that he had been sent by the Father for no other purpose than to the sheep of Israel's house that had perished, a perished race of clear-sighted souls. But for the sake of her purpose, and because she had worshipped Jesus as Son of God, she does obtain an answer. She was convicting her of her low birth and establishing that she was worthy of crumbs, like a little dog, and not of loaves. But when she intensified her resolve, and, having accepted Jesus' word, lays claim even to obtaining crumbs like a little dog, and acknowledges the nobler ones as masters, then she obtains a second answer, which testifies to her faith as great and promises that what she wishes will come to be for her. By analogy, I think, with the free Jerusalem above, mother of Paul and of those like him, one must understand the Canaanite woman, mother of the girl severely possessed by a demon, as being a symbol of the mother of a soul of that kind. And consider whether it is not reasonable to suppose a plurality of fathers as well as a plurality of mothers, corresponding to the fathers to whom Abraham the patriarch went, namely Abraham's own fathers, and to Jerusalem as mother, as Paul says concerning himself, and those like him. It is likely that this woman, of whom the Canaanite woman is a symbol, having gone out from the region bordering Tyre and Sidon, places whose earthly counterparts served as types, approached the Savior and entreated him, and even now still entreats him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon. Then he who answers both those outside and the disciples, when it is necessary answering, said, I was not sent, teaching that there are certain foremost souls, intelligent and clear-sighted, that were lost, called figuratively, the sheep of the house of Israel. Which, I think, the simpler folk, supposing this was said of Israel according to the flesh, will necessarily take to mean that our Savior was sent by the Father to none other than those lost Jews. But we who pray to be able to say truthfully, even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him no longer, know that saving the more intelligent is the Word's principal task, for these happen to be more akin to him than the duller ones. But because the sheep that perished from the house of Israel, apart from the remnant chosen by grace, refused to heed the word, for this reason he chose the foolish things of the world, meaning him who was neither Israel nor clear-sighted, that he might shame the wise of Israel, and called the things that are not a nation of understanding, handing over to them what they were able to receive, the foolishness of the preaching, and being pleased to save those who believe in this, so that he might refute the things that are out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, having fashioned it for himself, since it had become hostile to the truth. Now the Canaanite woman came and worshipped Jesus as God, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not right to take the bread of the children and throw it to the little dogs. But one might also inquire into the meaning of this saying, since, granted that there was a limited measure of loaves, such that the children could not eat loaves, and the little dogs of the household could too, or of the fineness of well-made loaves, such that it would not be reasonable for the well-made bread of the children to go as nourishment to little dogs. Nothing of this sort appears to hold in the case of Jesus' power, from which it was possible for both the children to partake and the so-called little dogs as well. See then whether one should not say, regarding it is not right to take the bread of the children, that the having emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, he brought a measure of power commensurate with what could contain the affairs of the world. And from this power, he also perceived a certain quantity going out from him, as is clear from someone touched me, for I knew that power had gone out from me. It was from that same measure of power, then, that he made his distribution, giving more to those who were foremost and called sons, while giving less to those who did not share this quality, as to little dogs. But even if this is how it happened, nonetheless, where there was great faith, he gave the bread of the children as to a child to the woman who, on account of her low birth in Canaan, happened to be a little dog. Perhaps, too, there are certain loaves among the words of Jesus, which it is permitted to give only to the more rational, as to children, and other words that are, as it were, crumbs from the great hearth and table of the more noble and the masters, which certain souls might make use of as dogs do. And in the law given through Moses, it is likewise written concerning certain things that one should cast it to the dog. And it mattered to the Holy Spirit to give commands concerning certain foods, so that something might be reserved for dogs. As for others who are foreign to the church's own teaching, let them suppose that souls pass from human bodies into bodies belonging to dogs, in keeping with their various vices. But we, finding this nowhere at all in the divine scripture, say instead that a more rational condition changes into a less rational one, suffering this on account of much indolence and neglect, and likewise a less rational disposition, on account of neglect of reason, sometimes turns back to the more rational, just as the little dog that once loved to eat from the crumbs falling from the table of its masters can arrive at the condition of a child. For virtue contributes greatly toward making one a child of God, while wickedness and rabid behavior in abusive words, and shamelessness, contribute toward making someone be styled, according to the language of Scripture, a dog. And you will understand the same thing likewise concerning the rest of the names taken from irrational animals. Yet the one who was reproached as a dog, and who was not indignant at being unworthy to be said to deserve the bread of the children, and who, with such great patient endurance, spoke the word of that Canaanite woman who said, Yes, Lord. For even the little dogs eat from the crumbs falling from the table of their masters, obtains the most gracious answer of Jesus, who says to her, Great is your faith, since she had taken up so great a faith, and who says, Let it be to you as you wish, so that she herself might be healed, and if she had produced any fruit needing healing, that this too might be cured. And Jesus, departing from there, it is clear from what has been said before that he came from the region of Tyre and Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee, which is the lake usually called the Lake of Gennesaret. And again he went up onto the mountain, where, having gone up, 15:29-31. One may say then that onto this mountain, where Jesus is sitting, not only those who are healthy go up, but along with the healthy also those who have suffered various afflictions. And perhaps this mountain, where Jesus goes up and sits, this is the mountain more commonly called the church, raised up above the rest of the earth, and those on it because of the word of God, where there approach not the disciples who left the crowds behind, as at the Beatitudes, but many crowds, who are not themselves accused of being deaf or having suffered anything, but have such people with them. And indeed one can see, among the crowds coming up to this hill on which God's Son takes his seat, some who are deafened to what is promised, others blind in soul, unable to see the light that is true, still others lame and unable to make their way in accordance with reason, and yet others crippled and unable to labor as reason would direct. These then who have suffered these things in soul, who went up to the mountain with the crowds, where Jesus was, as long as they remain outside the feet of Jesus, they are not healed by him. But when, since they have suffered such things, they are cast down by the crowds beside his feet and the last members of the body of Christ, not even worthy of these, so far as depends on themselves, they turn out to be, then they are healed by him. And whenever you see, in the gathering more commonly termed the church, people cast down among its lowliest members, as it were also beside the feet of the body belonging to Jesus, that is, the church, the catechumens who have come forward bearing their own deafness, blindness, lameness, and being crippled, and who are healed over time according to the word. You would not be wrong in calling such people people who ascended together with the crowds of the church up to the mountain, where Jesus is, cast beside his feet and healed, so that the crowd of the church marvels on seeing changes for the better arising from such great evils, so that one might say, those formerly mute now speak God's word, and the lame walk, while there is fulfilled also the prophecy of Isaiah, not only in bodily but also in spiritual matters, which says, then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the stammering shall be clear. And there too, if the phrase, the lame man leaps like a deer, is not said arbitrarily, we shall say that it is not without purpose that those who were formerly lame, and now leap because of Jesus like a deer, are compared to a deer, a clean animal, an enemy of serpents, able to suffer no harm from their venom, in being compared, since they were formerly lame and now leap because of Jesus, to a deer. And the prophecy is also fulfilled in the seeing of the deaf speaking, the prophecy that says, and the tongue of the stammering shall be clear, or rather the one that declares, you deaf hear. And the blind also see, according to the prophecy that says, next after you deaf hear, and you blind look up to see. Those who are blind, however, see when, on seeing the world, they perceive its maker proportionately, from the greatness and beauty of created things. And when they discern his invisible attributes, ever since the creation of the world, being understood through the things that have been made, that is, they see and understand carefully and clearly. And on seeing these things, the crowds glorified the God of Israel, and they glorify him, being persuaded that the same God he is the Father of the man just spoken of who was healed, and the God of Israel. For God is not of Jews alone, but belongs also to the nations. Let us then, together with ourselves, bring up onto the mountain, where Jesus sits, his church, along with those wishing to climb up onto it together with us. Deaf men, blind men, lame men, crippled men, and many others besides, and let us cast them down beside the feet of Jesus, in order that he might heal them, and so the crowds marveled at their healing. For the disciples are not recorded as marveling at such things, even though they were present with Jesus at that time too, as is clear from, but Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd, and so on. But perhaps, if you attend carefully to, there came to him many crowds, you would find that the disciples did not then come to him, but had long since begun following him, and had followed him up onto the mountain as well. Rather, it was the lesser ones among the disciples who came to him, approaching him then for the first time, and they did not experience the same things as those who had gone up with him. Observe closely in the gospel who are recorded as having followed Jesus, who is having come to him, who is having instead been brought before him, and who are divided into those going ahead and those following behind. And among those who came to him, who approached him while he was in the house, and who did so while he happened to be elsewhere. For you would discover many things from such observation, worthy, when comparing spiritual things with spiritual, of the exact wisdom found in the Gospels. But Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 15:32-39. Earlier, in the similar account about the loaves prior to these loaves, going out Jesus saw a great crowd and was moved with compassion toward them and cured their sick. And when evening came, the disciples came to him, saying, The place is desolate and the hour has already passed. Send them away, and so on. But here, after the healing of the deaf and the rest, he has compassion on the crowd that has now remained with him 3 days already and has nothing to eat. And there the disciples raise the question about the 5,000, whereas here he himself, unprompted, speaks about the 4,000. And in that case they are fed toward evening, having spent the day with him. But here, since it is testified that they had remained with him 3 days, they partake of the loaves so that they might not grow faint on the way. And there the disciples say they have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, without being asked, whereas here, when asked, they answer concerning 7 loaves and a few small fish. And there he commands the crowds to recline, not to sit on the grass, for Luke 2 wrote, make them recline. And Mark says he directed them all to recline, whereas here he does not command but instructs the crowd to sit down. Again, there, in the very same words, the 3 evangelists say that taking the loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed them. Whereas here, as Matthew and Mark recorded, having given thanks, Jesus broke them. And there they recline on the grass, whereas here recline on the ground. But you will investigate the discrepancy in John's account at the corresponding passages. In that other episode, he recorded that Jesus said, make the people recline. And that, having given thanks, he gave to those reclining from the loaves, whereas of this one, he did not even mention the beginning. Attending, then, to the difference between what is written in the various passages about the loaves, I consider these people to belong to a different order from those others. For this reason, these are fed on a mountain, those in a deserted place. And these remain with Jesus 3 days, those but a single day, being fed as evening fell on that day. Further, if it is not the same thing for Jesus to act on his own initiative as to act upon hearing it from the disciples, see whether those benefited by Jesus of his own accord, at the very point of the benefaction, in feeding them, do not differ asterisk. And if, according to John, the loaves were barley loaves from which the 12 baskets were left over, while nothing of the sort is said about these, how are these not better than the former? And in that case, he healed the sick. But here he does not heal the sick who are with the crowds, but the blind and the lame and the deaf and the crippled. And this is why the 4,000 marvel at these, whereas nothing of the sort is said concerning the sick. Better, I think, are those who ate from the 7 loaves over which thanks was given than those who ate from the 5 that were blessed, and those who ate from the few small fish compared to those who ate from the 2, and perhaps also those who reclined upon the ground as against those who were made to recline upon the grass. And those, from fewer loaves, filled 12 baskets, while these, from more loaves, filled 7 hampers, being more capacious of greater things. And perhaps these tread upon all things earthly and recline upon them, while the others recline upon the grass, that is, upon their flesh alone, for all flesh is grass. Notice also, after this, that Jesus does not want to send these away fasting, lest they grow faint, being empty of Jesus' loaves, and while still on the road to their homes suffer harm. Observe, too, wherever it is recorded that Jesus sent someone away, so that you may see the difference between those dismissed after being fed by him and those dismissed otherwise. An example of one dismissed otherwise is, Woman, you are freed from your infirmity. Furthermore, it is the disciples, constant companions of Jesus, who are never sent away from him, while the crowds, once fed, are dismissed. In the same way the disciples, thinking little of the Canaanite woman, say, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But the Savior clearly does not send her away at all, for having said to her, O woman, great is your faith, let it be done for you as you wish, he healed her daughter from that hour. Yet it is not written that he sent her away. So much, for the present, have we been able to examine and observe concerning the passage before us.